Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne, except for today. Hello.
Hi.
I am happy to announce the guest, and I know Rachel's listening on pins and needles right now because I didn't tell her who it was, is Chris Kane. What's up, Chris?
Oh, a lot, always, and it's good.
Awesome. You are part of our community. You are a frequent commenter, hardcore listener, and a full-time author living in Costa Rica.
Tell us
a little bit about you. How long have you been full-time, and what do you write? And, you know, just give us the summary.
Yeah. I have been full-time since I started publishing because I was basically homeless and jobless. So I just threw myself into it when I made, up to my first $20, basically. Really smart. I have lost my job shortly after having my son, and drama, stress. And I published my first thing knowing that it wouldn't make any money because I'd been following self-publishing for the almost decade now that it's been going on. I was absolutely shocked when it made $20 the first day when I had told absolutely no one about it. And I knew that was unusual, and I knew that if I pushed forward, I could make it work. And so I did. And all that is on a very secret pen name that I don't tell anyone. But I am moving forward with science fiction and fantasy, which is my heart's love in the next year.
That is great. And you're using the genre fiction that you keep on the download to sort of finance your transition into the genre you really like. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Nice. All right, cool. We're going to come back to that little hint there for you. let's take care of some business first. We had no new patrons this week. I did check, Rachel, so you're good for next week. I know she's listening. And I don't really have any announcements or anything to go over today on my end, so I figure we can just jump into the comments from last week. Last week's episode was Writer's Well episode 145. The question was, should I give up or double down? And quite a few comments, as always, really thoughtful responses, so I figured we could touch on a few and maybe talk about that a little bit.
Such a good question.
Well, I know it was selfish, but you know, it was good. I think it worked for people in different ways. Chris always comes in with the first comment, and I was kind of surprised that he said, great question, but no question of what he doesn't know what his answer was. And that's unusual for Chris. He almost always has an answer. So I like that. Cool. He said, quitters never win and winners never quit, or something like that. So good advice. Lon is definitely doubling down. So I don't know exactly what the project is, but whatever it is, he's doubling down.
Yeah.
Yes. How about you, Chris Kane, with a comment? You said there's totally time and place for doubling down. So what were your thoughts on that?
Oh gosh. Doubling down is my default mode. And that's not exactly healthy. So there are definitely things that I'm learning to back off of. And like the thing I really liked about what Rachel said was just that she's aware that the plate is only so large, and that if she doubles down on something, there's often something she has to take off. And I tend to just start stacking higher instead of shoving things off. And so a lot of the work that I've been doing for myself and my business the last year has been shoving things off the plate instead of doubling down. And in a way that is doubling down on the important things, but a little bit different mindset.
I'm exactly like you. I just keep adding and adding and adding. And then I look up and you're overwhelmed, and I'm very bad at subtracting things. So that I appreciated that comment. Definitely. Paul W. said he interpreted the question directly to his own quandary, which good. That's what you should do, Paul. That's what we're trying to do here. Is tie those questions into for everybody. Yeah, he said what was initially an entertaining paranormal suspense story has overgrown into a series with complicated backstory, prophetic futures for everyone, actual societal important themes, meaningful character growth, etc. So he's finding doubling down on that project as it grows to be exciting. Kim said double down, but like you, Chris, has said remember to quit some things too, or else you'll have too much on your plate. Totally agree there. Lisa Young came in and said she made the decision to double down on fiction by doing NaNoWriMo this year for the first time. That's a cool way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rebecca says she doesn't do either by default. It depends on the situation, which is a very level-headed approach.
Good. As you say, she's one step ahead of the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Edwin said he's currently in double down mode. So it seems like many of the authors here were saying they're doubling down on something. Eliza said she has a really hard time giving up. It's akin to saying I've lost my faith. Yeah, I get that. It feels like a defeat if you don't. So, yep. And Jenny said, interesting how most of us are more doubled down than give up. So, yeah, maybe it's the nature of the listeners or the type of writers we're dealing with here. But yeah, people have a hard time quitting stuff. I can relate.
Yeah, and especially in this day and age of so much publishing happening all at once. We have so many success stories surrounding us that we want ours to be one of those. So there's a lot of encouragement to keep working harder, which is good and bad in very complicated and nuanced ways.
Yes, I totally agree. All right. Well, because you're in Rachel's seat, I gave you the option. I said, do you want to ask a question or you want me to ask you one? And you're like, you can ask me. Now you know.
I'm so curious.
See, you can speak for us now and say they really don't discuss the question ahead of time. It's true.
I have no idea. And I'm so excited. I'm like, half of me is just like, what is Jake going to ask me? Like, that's just as revealing as like what my answer is going to be.
Yeah, it is. And we know each other. And so I had a little bit of an advantage here in throwing you. I don't know. I'm mixing my sports analogies, which is not uncommon. I was going to say throwing you a layup, but I'm going to throw you a softball because I know who you are and I want to be kind to the guest. But I think this could be a very rich conversation for us. So here's the question. You can answer it however you want. How do you, Chris Kane, approach genre?
Oh, gosh. Yes. super intensely. Which is something that kind of came out in a conversation this last weekend, like that when people think about like what I talk about, it's genre. Like, well, this genre expects that genre expects that. But at the same time, so reverse a little bit. I think when you're first starting out, you should write the most genre thing you can possibly write just to learn what that genre wants.
Would you say that's like the strict, like right to market approach?
Yes. Okay. I think that for, you know, I love making up percentages, but for like 90% of people, that's probably the best way to learn and get success fastest. Jim Butcher actually has a story about that, like when he was in writing class and the teacher wanted him to write to like a very simple formula, like this happens and that happens, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, this is stupid. It's never going to work. So he did it to prove it to her that it wouldn't work. And the book became the first Jim Butcher. Yeah. He is Jim Butcher. First Dresden Files book. So yeah, it didn't work at all. I think that genre is extremely important to budding genre writers who want to know how to write satisfying stories. The closer you stick to your genre, the more you learn. And then the easier it is to maybe not easier, but then you can branch out and really find your feet on like what is your way of telling a story that fits in the genre you love. And that comes really naturally because the genre is already built in to your knowledge and expectations. You don't have to think about it as much about what is required of you.
Interesting. Do you think there's a core of you that is most aligned with a certain genre?
What do you mean by that?
Well, like, do you, because I know you write multiple genres, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you this question, but do you feel like there's, and maybe it's not one you're writing now, or maybe it is science fiction, but one that you're like, that one is definitely like, that is my jam. Like, that is the one. But like, I still think it's important to be able to write these other genres. Like, do you, or is it you just sort of go with it, and as your tastes develop, then you write those kinds of stories?
I I think you can approach that kind of any way. Some people like know from the get-go, like I am this kind, like I'm a Western writer or I'm a horror writer. And they really don't want to step outside of that box, and that's fine if that's what's making them happy. But I tend to run in circles, and I know you do as well, of like multi-genre interest readers and writers. And so there's nothing wrong with writing in multiple genres. But going to like a career marketing wise, like you, I think you want to, you do want to double down on one genre from the start. Because then you're not getting distracted, and you're, it's going deep versus wide. Like you're really getting a depth of knowledge in one genre, and that is very easy extrapolated to other genres. Once you know one genre deeply, you know how to learn a genre quicker, and to build it into your brain quicker, so you don't have to think about like, what does this genre mean? You know instinctively, like you built it into your fingers know now.
Mm. So let me ask you sort of a follow-up question on that then, because of where you are currently. You know, what is your mindset now, or what are your thoughts about genre when you're going to start a new genre with a completely new pen name? You are basically starting from zero. You're like a brand new writer.
Absolute zero. Right? No one has ever read my science fiction, except like my husband. And he's not allowed to give me feedback because then I'll stop writing. I've got to finish a story before I get feedback. I'm actually, one of the things I love about and have been terrified about writing science fiction particularly is that it is so much more open than most genres, like romance. It's a very particular set of requirements of what makes an emotionally satisfying story to a romance reader. Western, a very particular set of requirements that makes an emotionally satisfying story to a Western reader. Science fiction and fantasy are so wide open that it is intimidating because there aren't as many rules. And that is something that has kept me from going, like just diving in, because I'm so intimidated because I don't know the rules, because there aren't many. And that's one of the reasons I think like working in other genres has actually made it a little bit more easy for me to like take this step. Like I know how to tell stories and how to tell satisfying stories. And maybe I don't know like where this particular story is going. This is the first time in, I don't know, like 30 books that I've written without a full outline. And I sat down this morning actually, because I'd gotten to the point where I only had like two scenes outlined ahead of me. And I was like, oh no, this is not far enough. I need to know like, what's the next five scenes? Where am I going? So I sat down this morning and like plotted the next five scenes. They came fairly easily and satisfyingly. And so I'm just kind of doing this into the dark thing for the first time in 2 years. But my fingers know how to tell a story. And I'm real like kind of leaning on Rachel approach this. Like I know that this like that the process works whether I have an outline or not. Like I know how to tell a story, and I just gotta keep telling it.
Well, I'm not at all worried about your ability on the craft side. I'm more curious about like, okay, you're gonna write a really good story. You're a pro, you're a full-time author, but then I'm assuming you have no mailing list. You have no following, brand new pen name, new profile on Amazon. Like, what are you going to do?
I'm definitely going to write a freebie first. And I'm hoping to go like more novella with that. I'm one of the things that I'm like being very conscientious about this because it is the thing that I want to have long term. I don't want to rush myself getting things set up right. And I've got money coming in from writing. So I'm like fulfilling my dream of being a writer and making my money from that. So like that's already settled. So for this, like I can take my time. So that is what I'm doing. So I'm going to finish the first novel, then I'm going to write a novella that I will give away for free. And because of the time I've spent making friends among people of my genre, you know, science fiction, I'm hoping that I can have them share to their mailing list, or if anybody is doing a promo where they're doing like a Prolific Works or a Book Funnel giveaway, like I can get in on that and get people on my mailing list. I'm considering doing book recommendations on my brand new spanking that's words are mixed up. I don't speak in order, but I write in order. Brand spanking new website, just to have content and to kind of give readers a flavor of what I like to read, because what I like to write will stem off of that as well. And particularly sharing books that I think will be similar to either the tone or the themes of the stuff that I'm planning on writing.
Mm. And why do you think or do you think your existing audience wouldn't be interested in sci-fi? Is that why you're not sort of leveraging what that fan base you already have?
Yeah, for the most part, that's part of it. Another part of it is that I just don't want any social or legal connections between the two, other than the fact that I wrote them both. I want to keep them super separate, because someday I'm going to let the other pen name just kind of be, and it'll just be sitting out there and, you know, maybe make me $100 a month, you know, 5 years down the road, because it's not super evergreen. And it may rise in popularity, fall in popularity. I don't really know. But yeah, I don't think my current readers would be super interested in it. And then there's the whole messing up the Amazon algorithms, because it's quite different.
Yeah.
But part of it is just this challenge of, like, can I do it again? Can I start from scratch again? Can I do it, like, intentionally this time instead of accidentally?
Yeah. Yeah, good. That's a very interesting response. I think my approach to genre is probably a little different, because I've had the same pen name and will probably keep the same pen name. Although I haven't stayed in the lane like I probably should have. I started out writing mostly like traditional horror, and now I'm writing more like sci-fi post-apoc dystopian, and there's a lot of crossover, but it's not the exact same reader. And I'm starting to, and I'm almost dabbling in some other elements right now, and I'm starting to wonder, like, if I introduce like a third element or a third genre-ish area, like, am I really going to completely dilute my brand at that point? And so I don't know, like, it's definitely a question on my mind. And I think where I think it really applies is for a lot of our listeners who haven't published yet. It's the same problem. Like, whether you're starting over or starting new, it's the same set of questions.
No, I feel like I will be in your same boat with this pen name. This will be the forever pen name. And at some point it will be multi-genre, like, underneath this name. I'm starting out going hardcore, writing science fiction right now. Like, I know I'm going to write a series and I'm focusing on that, and possibly separate more series, like, just all kind of in the same vein before I branch out and, like, create another element of the brand. But I think for people who plan on having a long-term career, basically from now until we die, I think, and who are multi-genre readers, it's going to be essential to keeping our interest and our joy and our energy in the writing is going to be not doing the same genre all the time. Mm-hmm. So much we talk about, like, you know, whether Amazon can handle, like, you having this mixed bag, or whether the readers can handle you having this mixed bag. The readers are going to know, like, that's your science fiction, that's your fantasy. I don't read fantasy, I read science fiction. They're going to know that. So they're going to still follow you for your science fiction. Like, I love Lindsay Broker's science fiction, and I have not yet read any of her fantasy.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure I'd like it, but, like, science fiction is more my flavor. But that doesn't stop me from reading her next science fiction book. I keep reading. And someday I will probably read her fantasy, just because I like her, her style. But there's so much focus on what the market wants from you rather than what you need from yourself. And that's the biggest gap I see right now in, like, the indie publishing industry, like, where people are burning out, they're dropping out. Yeah. Like, they haven't put a focus on what they need to fill their well, fill their soul. And it's been so much focus on, like, how do I game the market this month? And that is draining.
Yeah, I feel often like I'm saying two different things at the same time, and I probably am, but it is a strange time, and it's such a great perspective you bring about, you know, what you need as a writer, as opposed to what the market wants or what Amazon needs. Because I think I'm in a place where I'm looking for some other challenges. And even though I love post-apoc and dystopian, I don't know if I want to be writing that for the next 30 years, you know? But on the other side, like, I don't want to have to manage 4 pen names and 4 Twitter accounts and 4 KDP dashboards or whatever, you know, whatever it happens to be. So I feel like, you know, the way I'm approaching genre is like, I'm doing both things at the same time, and I'm just in this weird place with it. And I wonder if maybe it's my own justification or maybe rationalization, but I'm thinking like, well, if I wrote horror, post-apoc isn't that big of a stretch. But for you, writing like a certain flavor of romance versus like pure sci-fi, that might be too big of a stretch.
On the same pen name. Yeah.
On the same name, right?
And a lot of that is, for me, a lot of that is less about like what the market is I'm delivering it to, and more about like representing me as an author. Like, I'm not a romance author at heart, even though like that's where a lot of my money has come from. And so when I present myself, I don't know if I'll ever write romance under Christine. I like romance subplots, and so those will probably be there. It's more just about like, does this fit who I want to present myself as, or for the rest of my life, or just really who I am? And there's definitely offshoots in these pen names that some of them I'll keep writing for several years, but they don't represent like who I am.
Yeah.
And so they'll stay off on their little shelf over there. And I don't do a lot of social media for some of my pen names, AKA any, and barely even anything for the mailing list. But it's fun to write those stories. Some of them are co-writing projects, and so we both have a lot of fun with them. And they're good prep for when like I need to remind myself that money isn't the end all be all of the publishing game.
Cool. And I'll bet you could probably use that same approach if you were a fiction writer and also had some nonfiction aspirations or vice versa. I think it would probably play the same way, right?
Yeah. And I do think that with the fiction nonfiction divide, I think like just having pen, like a slightly some. Some algorithms are right now, but that is still you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably a wise move, sort of like the way Joanna does it with JF Penn and Joanna Penn, right? Yeah, cool. Wow, it was so cool to have you on today.
That's fine.
It was great. Was it everything you hoped it would be?
Oh, it was wonderful.
I look at me fishing for compliments when Rachel's not here. Isn't that cool?
Rachel, Jay is the best interviewer. Oh, not that you're not. You're amazing, too. You have a whole interview podcast. How do you write .com? Maybe I don't even know what the URL is.
I don't know. Is it .com or .net? I don't remember.
Look up the How Do You Write podcast. It's lovely. It fills my well like all the time.
Yes, totally agree. Excellent. Well, I would love to know what listeners think about genre, how they approach it, what you're thinking about it. You know, if you're just starting out, or if you're switching. You know, are you going to go right to market and really nail the genre a la Jim Butcher? Are you going to kind of write your own thing? Come over to thewriterswell.org, post there in the comments, and myself and Rachel and Chris Kane will probably comment. Oh, great. Well, thanks again for coming on, filling in. It was great to have you, and always a pleasure.
Yeah.